Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Everyone was upset, and it overflowed from inside people's homes to out here in the streets of Los Angeles.
South Los Angeles residents remember the LA riots and reflect on their community 16 years later. Good afternoon, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 29th, 2008. I'm Laura Weber. The number of workplace immigration raids has gone up dramatically in the last 7 years. And today, Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez joined the CEO of American Apparel, Dove Charney, to condemn immigration raids on American companies. Timothy Beckworth has the story.
Charney pays the highest wages in the garment industry and offers health and education benefits to his workers. His company was recently questioned by ICE, which Charney says targeted them not for unlawful practices, but because of the bold Legalize LA signs posted above his factory. Nunez thanked the company for its treatment of immigrant and non-immigrant workers alike.
We should be applauding companies such as this one. I am announcing today that I will be introducing legislation for the President and the Congress to make comprehensive immigration reform a top priority.
Angelica Salas, the executive director of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, said that ICE's mass enforcement raids hurt families and threaten productivity.
These raids are not doing anything to solve our immigration problems in this country. This company is doing what many other companies in this country wish they could do, which is to keep jobs in America.
This begs the question, should it be called un-American apparel? Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
LAPD is getting ready for Thursday's May Day immigration demonstration. Last year's event in MacArthur Park escalated when police fired rubber bullets and struck protesters. This year, police have new tactics and technology to help control the crowds. Every officer participated in a crowd control basics course, and new bilingual robots communicate in both English and Spanish. Police say they expect more than 50,000 protesters on Thursday. Public safety agencies took part in a drill today that stimulated a terrorist threat at the Los Angeles Coliseum. The LA Fire and Police Departments, FBI, and the U.S. military were part of the Operation Triangle, which tested the city's emergency response system. Annenberg TV News spoke with City Fire Captain Armando Hogan, who says the exercise helps public safety agencies prepare for threats.
We've already met, we've already spoke, we've already engaged in a large-scale incident-type scenario. So what that allows us to do is to be better come together in a seamless transition to make sure that we do things correctly.
The participants responded to realistic-sounding radio transmissions, including one that alerted officials to treat people who were exposed to nerve agents. Community activists gathered to send a message to city leaders to invest in youth programs today. Daryl Perinata reports.
Two nonprofit organizations staged a rally to express concern over the city's plans to invest in police over prevention. The Youth Justice Coalition and Families to Amend California's Three Strikes called upon elected officials to fund gang intervention efforts, open more youth centers, and provide more job opportunities for young people. Since January 1st of this year, more than 136 young people have been killed in the streets of Los Angeles, a 30% increase in homicides over last year. One of the speakers at the rally was 16-year-old Watts resident Maritza Galvez. She is a member of the Youth Justice Coalition.
We, the young people who are 16 years old, 15, 17, know the answers and you guys don't? You guys have been in office for so many years and youngsters like us can tell you what we need. But you guys rather see law enforcement this, law enforcement that, and don't realize that the ones that are being affected is us. The ones that the blood is on the ground is ours. These are our family members. We want education. We want youth centers open.
The organizations also asked for city officials to maintain and protect Special Order 40, a police mandate that prevents LAPD officers from inquiring about the immigration status of suspects and witnesses. Daryl Perinata, Annenberg Radio News.
A former UCLA medical employee was indicted today for selling the medical files of high-profile patients to media outlets. Prosecutors say LaWanda Jackson accessed the files of dozens of celebrities and sold the information for $4,600. Prosecutors say the media outlet paid Jackson by writing checks to her husband. If convicted, Jackson faces up to 10 years in prison. LA's budget seems to be affecting all government departments. Stephanie Meisenheimer takes a look at how cuts might change LA public libraries.
The mayor's proposed budget cut of the Los Angeles public libraries is threefold. First, 8 regional branch libraries would be closed on Sundays. Secondly, library staffs would undergo short-term layoffs. And finally, the bookbind budget would be reduced by $2 million. LA Public Library Representative Peter Persick says he knows that the city council is facing tough decisions, but hopes they will consider restoring funds, especially to the bookbind budget.
Already, Los Angeles is ranked toward the bottom of the list of major cities on per capita spending for library books. So if anything, we would hope that more money would be allocated for books, not less.
Persick says LA's public libraries served a record 16 million people last year. Many of these library users are now hoping to save library funding. Save LAPL is an organization comprised of historians, writers, and other library users who want to raise awareness and prevent the proposed budget cuts. Kim Cooper, co-founder of Save LAPL, urges library users to email the mayor with their concerns.
People can speak out now just using the internet, and I very much hope that the mayor and the council will listen.
The mayor's budget will go before the city council's budget and finance committee on Thursday and will reach the full city council on May 19th. Stephanie Meisenheimer, Annenberg Radio News.
Firefighters say the Sierra Madre fire is now 57% contained. They hope to contain it completely by Friday. Mandatory evacuations were also lifted, and so far no homes have been lost and no firefighters were seriously injured. Air quality officials have issued a smoke advisory for parts of the San Gabriel and San Bernardino valleys. Residents are encouraged to stay indoors until conditions improve. Looking to the weather, we'll hit the mid-50s tonight. Skies will be mostly clear with low clouds and fog into tomorrow morning. We'll see temperatures in the low to mid-70s through Thursday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, candidates running for the Board of Supervisors seat argue their qualifications for the position. We'll have highlights of the debate. Today marks the anniversary of a pivotal event in Los Angeles history. It was on April 29, 1992, that a jury acquitted 4 white police officers in a videotaped beating of Rodney King, a black motorist. Anger over the verdict sparked 6 days of rioting and the deaths of 53 people. The flashpoint of the violence was at the corner of Florence and Normandy in South Central Los Angeles. Emily Henry went to that corner today, where she found a key figure in the riots.
16 years have passed since the Los Angeles riots, but despite the history, nothing at the intersection of Florence and Normandy seems to have changed. The gas station, the liquor store, the chili dog stand that has been around since Kiki Watson was a kid.
My friends and family call me Kiki. The white folks call me Henry Watson.
On this corner in 2008, Watson is the only reminder of the tragedy and turmoil that defined this part of South Central. He wears a t-shirt bearing the mugshots of the 4 men who dragged Reginald Denny, a white driver, from his truck and beat him almost to death. One of the mugshots is his own.
And it all stemmed from the Rodney King beating from the LAPD officers, you know. It was a not guilty verdict that came down, and myself as well as my community was upset about it, you know what I'm saying?
Things quickly spiraled out of control.
Everyone was upset, and it overflowed from inside people's homes to out here in the streets of Los Angeles. We didn't plan. We didn't start out the day, you know, on that particular morning, thinking that we was going to come out and just tear up the city. No, that's not what happened. It was just something that grew out of the verdict. Came from the verdict, you know what I'm saying, as well as all the other hostility and frustrations here in the community of Los Angeles.
Watson has become known as one of the LA Four. Of the other 3, Damian Williams is serving a 46-year sentence for the murder of a drug dealer. Antoine Miller was fatally shot at a Hollywood nightclub in 2004. And Gary Williams is reportedly a crack addict living on the streets. The riots lasted for almost a week.
The emotions was running really high at that particular time. It was like a wildfire, you know what I'm saying? It just caught, ignited, and ran.
The video was captured by a news helicopter and shows Reginald Denny's truck straddling the intersection and his body lying motionless next to it.
You know, one moment in time, you know, frozen in time can change anyone's life. None of us expected for this to take place and it to happen the way it did, so.
Watson says the riots were a symptom of a bigger problem. He feels the entire area of Los Angeles has been too long ignored.
April 29th just allowed the world to come into South Central for the first time and take a look around and see.
Residents were skeptical of any media presence. They see the same stories being told every year.
You know, of course it's going to be negative, you know, because that's what the media wants to show is all the negative, you know. But they need to come in and see the positive, you know.
Three presidents have visited this intersection, and yet the area hasn't seen any political rejuvenation. The same tensions still exist about the quality of life here.
It's bigger than me. It's bigger than Reginald Denny. Bigger than Rodney King. Bigger than the officers. You know what I'm saying? We didn't start all this. You know what I mean? And we ain't gonna stop it either. We wasn't getting along. We ain't been getting along. And we're not gonna get along.
Tony Falley was 16 when the riots happened. He believes that the city needs to put some effort into the area if life is going to get better for the people who live here.
You know what I mean? Our environment needs to be built up. You know, you got Inglewood being built. Watts got built back up. You know, people do things in Compton, but as far as Florence and Normandy, where the riot happened at, we don't have anything but the same stuff. A gas station, a liquor store. We haven't had no improvement.
History has shown that it sometimes takes the most drastic actions to provoke change. In South Central Los Angeles, the residents who remember the LA riots are still waiting to see theirs. Emily Henry, Annenberg Radio News.
The top two candidates vying for a rare open Board of Supervisors spot in the 2nd District debated on Thursday night. The district covers Culver City, South LA, Watts, and Compton. Annenberg Radio News was there to cover the often contentious event. Matt Mundy has our report.
City Councilman Bernard Parks and State Senator Mark Ridley Thomas went after each other on a wide range of issues in Thursday's debate, sponsored by the League of Conservation Voters and the League of Women Voters. They both accused each other of being in the thrall of special interests. Parks has been backed by much of the business community, while Ridley Thomas draws much of his support from labor. Parks, who previously was the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department, said he had more experience serving the community.
I think the issues are primarily the issue of experience. I think I've seen public service as opposed to the political process for greater in length of time than my opponent or any other candidate.
Ridley Thomas responded, saying he is more a man of the people.
That I believe in investing in people. I believe in empowerment. I believe in organizing people to accomplish their stated goals and objectives. I believe in making government as transparent as possible. And I believe in causing people to access and understand government so that they can then cause government to be a friend rather than a strange enemy.
The two candidates also sparred over the reopening of the Martin Luther King Jr. Harbor Medical Center near Watts. Parks accused Thomas of flip-flopping on the issue, having wanted it to close before but now wanting it to reopen. Parks said his position has been consistent.
I think it's a consistent pattern of working to keep Martin Luther King Hospital open. When it closed, I've been working diligently to get it reopened. I've not used the political expedient area today and say I'm for it now that it's closed and advocated for its closing earlier.
I am clear about some basic things, that this hospital is a fundamentally important part of the safety net, and we can make it happen through a public-private partnership.
A more humorous difference between the two candidates emerged when newscaster and moderator for the debate, Mark Brown, asked them which presidential candidate they preferred.
Senator Barack Obama. Okay. Yes, we can.
Okay. Now, we have come to that part
I'm
of our
glad
program.
To be a state co-chair for Barack Obama. Right, when Senator, those didn't believe in him, he Senator, said, yes, we can.
Senator?
I think I can say something about that.
All right, but we didn't have time. We don't have time now.
I just like to say I'm the first elected official in Los Angeles that supported and endorsed Obama 2 years ago.
Okay, that is it. Thank you. Now, you will each have 30 seconds.
And I registered 25,000 voters for Obama.
An open election for one of the five Board of Supervisors seats hasn't happened since 1992, when current supervisor Yvonne Burke won. Burke is retiring now and has endorsed Parks. Voters will get to cast their ballots on June 3rd. Matthew Mundy, Annenberg Radio News.
LA Times reporter Jean-Paul Renaud covered last week's debate. I spoke with him earlier today about what he observed. He said because this was the first televised debate, Parks and Ridley Thomas were ready to spar.
This was their first and only televised debate, so I think some of the gloves kind of came off between the candidates in their attempt to try to highlight each other's weaknesses.
You know, you said their gloves came off. It seems as though they were really at odds, especially about King Drew.
In
an article in the LA Times itself, and I was wondering a little, what was the controversy there, and why was that such a heated debate?
Well, the controversy about that story was an opinion piece that Senator Ridley Thomas wrote in the LA Times in 2004, calling for the closure of the trauma center. And so I think what the misunderstanding was that the councilman was trying to say that the senator was advocating for the entire hospital to close, where the senator responded that he was always advocating for just one section of it to close, not the entire facility.
You know, one of the more odd moments was when they were both kind of endorsing or advocating for Senator Obama for mm-hmm. presidency. Why was that even an issue at this debate?
I think it's because Senator Ridley Thomas has always been trying to paint Councilman Parks as conservative, and what Parks was trying to show is that he's always been a Democrat, even though the truth is that he was an independent until just recently and then registered to be a Democrat. But that I think in Parks saying that he supported Obama, he was just trying to show that he was just as much a Democrat as Ridley Thomas.
What was your observation of the audience reaction? How did they react to both of the candidates?
I think both had their supporters, and both had their people that disagreed with them. And a couple times the commentator had to, or the moderator had to calm people down because of time. I think for the most part, though, each had an equal amount of supporters there.
Do you think there was one person that came out at the end on top, or that seemed like the stronger speaker or candidate?
I think they both have their strengths in speaking and in debating. I'm not sure if any one of them came out on top, even though if you ask them, they both think they won.
That was J.P. Renaud, a reporter with the Los Angeles Times. Now we check in with Sean Chitness to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Laura, tonight on Annenberg TV News, we're going to have the latest on the Santa Anita fire. It's about 57% contained, and evacuation orders have been lifted. But Sierra Madre residents told us that the community really came together when they had to leave their homes.
The town as a whole came to everybody's rescue just by offering not only the shelter centers, but their own homes.
Tonight, we'll talk to residents and business owners. We'll also have our weekly installment, Cheap Dates with Melissa Pasternak. Melissa is soaring to new heights. Literally, she'll show you how you can have some food and fun at the Santa Monica Pier. That's tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision.
Remember to keep clicking on Annenberg Radio for more stories. Sonata Lee spoke with a community leader and a journalist as they reflect on their experiences during the LA riots. That wraps it up for today and for all Tuesdays this semester. Thanks to our Tuesday crew, Kelly Kidwell, Tim Beckworth, Emily Henry, Daryl Perinata, Sonata Lee, Stephanie Meisenheimer, and Hannah Lee. Catherine Reese was our producer and Matt Mundy our executive producer. A special thanks to Billy Higgins. You can still hear our reports over the summer on our website. Our live Tuesday newscasts will return in September. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Laura Weber.